been visiting with you about what I'm calling the basics of just basics of conversation, having a conversation, building a relationship through a conversation. Then I talked to you last week, started talking to you about building a relationship of knowledge, what I call a knowledge relationship. A knowledge relationship is something that's acquired over time. You do this with your boss, with your coworker, with your husband, with your wife, with your neighbor. You build a relationship over time with these people based on this knowledge that you gain. There was a story told to us years ago of an elder woman lived next door to this man. He was kind of a real gruff, real rough old guy, and he was an old military man and just really rough. And this woman had some chickens, and these chickens would get over in her yard, in his yard, and man, he'd come over there and he'd throw them chickens back, and he'd cuss at that woman, "Keep these chickens out of my yard. I don't want these chickens in my yard." Until finally one day, he knocks on the door, and he's got one of her chickens, and he's killed her chicken. Gave her a chicken, said, "Here's your chicken. I told you to keep these out of my yard." Blah, blah, blah. In about 2 hours, she knocked on his door, and she had fried chicken for him, offered it to him. He says, there's always a way to build a relationship. You just have to find it. And so when we're talking about the relationship with God, please understand, every relationship with God is different. In this little story, that's one way to do it with that person or that individual. But the reality of it is there's more than one way to do this. There's just not, when I lay these things out to you, and I talk about having a conversation, how that we would do that, and how that we would memorize that portion of Scripture that tells us about our Father which art in heaven, and you guys heard that over and over, and we talked about it. There's different ways of doing it. We're not all the same. And so the problem that we get into at times is we want to lay this thing out in such a way, and the church has been guilty of this, and I apologize for us, the church, and I mean myself. We have been guilty of laying it out that if you don't do it this way or my way, then it won't work. Well, in reality, it doesn't work that way. When I was a young man, I'd opened a garage, and I did some body work and painting. I did some mechanic and sold tires, just all kind of stuff. And I had an opportunity to build some engines. So I was, my father-in-law had been a mechanic all of his life. His brother is still a mechanic, never worked any place but the garage he's in today, owns a garage in Muldrow. And so these two had never done anything but that. Their father owned a parts store and the garage that his brother now owns. And so that's all they've ever known. So I went and talked to my father-in-law about it. I talked to him about how to build these engines that I was wanting to build, and I had an opportunity to do it. So I went and talked to him. So he laid it out to me. Here's how you got to do it. And he said, "This is the way it's got to be done." I said, "Okay." So I went and talked to his brother. And they're about the same age, probably 4 or 5 years difference. And he laid out to me how it had to be done. He said, "It's got to be done this way." And they were different. Their ways were different. And so I then began to build these engines myself, and I did it different than these two guys. Although I took elements of both, I did it differently. So I found out that even though sometimes we are under the impression that if you don't do it this way, it won't work, that's not always true. It's not a one-size-fits-all type thing, having a relationship with God. That your relationship with God will be different than mine. And we've known this. We've been in the church, and we've known people that had these relationships with God that we thought were just a little bit strange. How many of you remember that person? They're here, and it's like, really? You know, it's like stuff going on. It's like, okay, that's fine. I don't mind if you do that. Just don't get that mess on me. They say, "Amen. I don't need to do it that way. And if you do, that's fine. I'm for it." So we understand that this is not a one-size-fits-all. When I begin to talk to you and teach you how to, that's why Jesus gave us a model and not a method to pray. He didn't just give us this method that you got to go down step one, step two. He gave us a model by which we can go by, and that's why he gave us the what we know as the Lord's Prayer, or if we have any Catholic or Episcopal background, Lutheran background, it's the Our Father. And so as a result of that, he said, "Here's your model. Pray it this way. Do it like this. Get these elements in it." That's what you're looking for in a prayer. It's not about saying the words just right. It's not about knowing exactly what to say. It's not about being able to quote the Bible. It's about you and I building a relationship with God or developing that relationship over time. And so we worked through that part of the conversation, and we started last week talking about this knowledge thing. Now, I made this statement. I want to make it again, starting with this. Knowledge must be sought after. And I want to say this, not only just in the family of God or in our relationship with God, but knowledge must be sought after. Knowledge will not automatically come to you. God's not willing although he does, he's not willing to just continually spoon feed us. We've got to begin to go after some knowledge, or go after things that we didn't know, or go after things that we believe could help us, or go after things that we believe could change our lives. And so knowledge, when we begin to talk about knowledge, you've got to seek this. You've got to go after it. So I read a verse to you last week. Let's read it again in Matthew 7, verse 7. That talks about this a little bit, gives us a little bit of background. Then we're going to jump in and go at this at a dead run. Here's what the Bible says. It says that, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened." These three phrases, all three of these phrases I gave you last week, these three phrases require you to initiate. It says to ask and then you'll receive. Seek and then you'll find. Knock. And then the door will be open. Now, God is willing to spoon feed us. He said that he will give us. I quoted a verse to you last week, or read a verse to you, I'm sorry, that talks about Paul. And he said, I've came here in Hebrews. He said, I've came here. You should be eating meat. But he said, you're still drinking milk. He wasn't mad. He said, I'm a little bit disgusted. He said, I thought you should be a little farther down the road than you are right now. But he said, nonetheless, he said, we're willing to still give you some milk. But the problem with that is that is the level that God is willing to keep you on if you're willing to stay there. My take on this, Nick Saban said this. He said, most people think that everyone wants to be the best. But he said, I have found that most people are satisfied with average. Nick Saban said that. One writer said, and I was using this in teaching a group of real estate agents the other day, I was teaching them, I said, there's a saying that says that on the Sahara this morning, a gazelle wakes up knowing that if it can't outrun the slowest gazelle, it'll be eaten. And on the Sahara this morning, there's a lion that wakes up that knows that if it can't outrun the slowest gazelle, it'll starve. And he said, the principle is this: when the sun comes up, you better be running. That's the principle. When the sun comes up, you've got to be running. You've got to be seeking, going after something. If we're going to, or you're going to, if we're going to achieve anything above average in our lives, you're going to do it because you sought after it, because you went after it, because you pursued it. You're going to see that happen in your life. The book of Proverbs says it this way. We're going to be using several verses out of the book of Proverbs. Knowledge is the knowledge of God. It's like an open treasure chest that has no bottom. Now, the reason that I would take time to teach this to you is because you guys have been with us long enough. The success that I have had in my life, and God has blessed us, we've been very successful. I haven't done very few things that haven't succeeded in my life. Now, I don't take that. That's not because I'm that smart. I graduated high school. I couldn't hardly read. I had to teach myself to write. I didn't do it. God did. Taught me to read. I had to learn how to read. I'm still the kids. The little kids may sometimes poke fun at Papa. I'm not that good at math. I can count. I know how many ones is in 100. They say, man, if you're paying me, I know how many ones is in 100. But now here's the thing. There's some things I get a little bit outside. I'm thankful to God now I have a thing that I carry in my pocket. It's a phone that's got a calculator on it that I can use because I'm not that good at it. So I understand that. Maybe that's the difference. I understand that everything that I have or the success that I've had in my life didn't come because I was smart enough to go get it. I had to have help. John Maxwell said, he said, we're all just turtles on a fence post. I want you to think about that just a second. If you see a turtle on a fence post, you can be assured of one thing. He had help getting there. And they say, amen. So here's the thing, guys. If you and I would like to or are desiring to achieve anything in our lives, we're going to have some help. And the Bible says that God is willing to give us the knowledge that we need, the information that we need to succeed in every aspect of our lives. Here's the thing I have found. The things in my life that have succeeded have been the things that I have brought into my relationship with God. Period. The ones that didn't, I just did it on my own. So I've proven this over the years in my life. Proverbs 4, verse 5 says it this way. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, her here being wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8 says, exalt her, or wisdom, and she shall promote thee, and shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9, she shall give thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. There's a little game that the kids play on my phone. I think it's called Would You Rather? And so it has these questions, and it'll ask a question. Would you rather not have arms, or would you rather not have legs? And though you'll answer that question, it tells you the percentages of how people answer. There's a question that comes on there quite often, and the kids will always ask me. They said, Grandpa or Papa, if you had a choice, they said, whether would you rather have $1 million or would you rather have a very high intelligence? I said, give me intelligence every day. I can get all the money I need. You make me smart, I can do all that. I can get all the money I need. I'll never want for anything. And so this is the thing. It says that if you'll get this mentality in your mind, if we'll stop looking at the end of the bottom line and start understanding that the success that we're looking for in our relationship with God and ultimately in our lives, I learned a long time ago that if my relationship with God succeeds, my life will follow that. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, I'll add all these things to you. So he's saying, what you've got to do is you've got to seek him first. You've got to have God first. It's got to be the first thing in our life. So I learned a long time ago, if I'll just put God first, I won't want for anything. Psalms 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or he said, I'll have everything I need. So I began to understand these kind of things. That what I'm looking for in my life, I set a goal for myself in my 30s that I said, if I don't make it by 55, I will consider myself a failure. I set that goal back in my 30s. Several years ago, Jeanette says, I think we've made it. I don't know what that means. I said, you don't give me no more money than I used to get. And I say, amen. Where's all my mad money? I thought when you made it, that's not how it works. She said, we've made it. So I understand now that I was able to beat that, but the reality of it was I had to have something in mind, and I began to educate myself a long time ago so that I could see this happen. It said that education would put a crown on my head, and it would put me in the position I wanted to be. So think about that this morning. It's like, what is it that you and I would like to see happen in our life? What is it you'd like to see change in your life? It's not going to happen. I've learned this through the years that it won't happen because you can get more money. I've done it. I've had several employees, 75 people at one time are working for us in 3 to 5 locations. Sometimes we've done as many as 10 locations, 75 people. It's like, my God, it's like herding cats. It's like, how do you keep up with all this? Well, the thing is I realized through the years that if I'll pay them more, that does not guarantee a better job. As a matter of fact, I have found that the companies that work for me that have done the work, they've put in the time, they've got the paperwork that they need, they have the things that I require, when they come to me, they're normally cheaper. Why? Because they understand that what the other groups that are just blowing and going 100 miles an hour downhill is they're wasting more than they're receiving. So I began to find people that were simple companies, that the people that were in the companies that were doing the work were wealthy. I began to find people like that. And when I say wealthy, I'm talking about they're not living necessarily hand to mouth. They've done pretty good for themselves. So I begin to find people like this. And these people, they're not living in mansions, but I can tell when I visit, I got one in particular, he's been with me since the very beginning. And when I talk to him, he has never not fished as much as he wants. How many of you know if somebody gets to fish all they want, they're doing pretty good? Because the rest of us having to work, try to get to go fishing. He's already figured that part of his life out. I have another man that works for me, and you go over to his house, and he had to build more barns for all the stuff he's got. He's got trucks he's bought. He's got equipment he's bought, and he keeps it under these deals, I guess, just to look at it. I'm not sure. He doesn't use it that much. But he's very successful in this. Bought his wife a new car, gave $75,000 for his wife's car, put it under the garage. It has 500 miles on it. It's about 10 years old. She didn't want it. He just wanted to get it for her. You understand? These are the kind of people. So I begin to look at this. So when we begin to talk about this, guys, we got to understand that this, you figure the, and what I found about these people is they're very intelligent people. Some of the most intelligent people I know are guys that work for me. They're so much smarter than I am. I learned years ago by John Maxwell. He said that if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. So I figured out real quick that I didn't need to be or want to be the smartest guy. That I need to be around smart people. When we begin to build a relationship with God, a knowledge relationship, what you have to do is you have to, at that point, you have to begin to go after what it is that God knows that you need to know. I don't have any problem walking up to people and asking them questions. Because people know things that I don't know. Have you figured that out yet? That people around you know things that you don't, that you haven't yet? For several years, I knew it all. They say amen. Then I figured out I didn't. I thought I knew a little bit about a whole lot of stuff. Now I figured out there's about two or three things that I know a lot about, and the rest of it I don't know that much about. But I have the ability. I've got a phone. I can get somebody on the phone that knows about it, that I figured out. This guy knows about this. This woman knows about this. And so we can figure these things out. When you begin to go into a relationship with God, you've got to get this concept. He has everything you need. He has the answers to all the questions that you could ask. And so we begin to go into this, begin to move into this relationship. You got to understand that God has it all. You just got to be willing to go after it. Proverbs says it this way, 1 and verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I've let more people go because they would not listen than any other reason. I haven't let them go because they did bad work. I let them go because they wouldn't listen. If I tell you, I want you to understand, God's the same way. He said, a fool will not listen to instruction. A fool will not do it. So here's the thing. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This phrase, the fear of the Lord, what this is it is an extreme respect for God and his ways. Now, here's the thing. Most of us that's been in the church all of our lives, and most of us have, we've gone to church somewhere when we were a kid, and we went some when we were adults. We maybe hadn't gone, whatever the case, but we've all been around the church. We have a healthy fear of God in that we respect God because we read the Bible. You know, he did some stuff in there that's pretty crazy, you know, made the ground open up, swallowed some folks up. I'm not interested in having that happen. God could do it again. So we have a real healthy a respect for God that we're careful what we say. We're careful the way that we say it because we don't want to find ourselves in a position where we're being disrespectful to God. We learned that through the years being in the church. But there's this next thing that we've also got to have an extreme respect for his ways. One of the reasons why some of us, myself included, at times has not been able to grow in my relationship with God because I've got things going on in my life that I know shouldn't be there. You know, when we know that we're doing things that the Bible explicitly says we shouldn't, we know what the Ten Commandments are. I mean, if we're having extramarital affairs, we're lying, we're cheating, we're stealing. I was preaching one time in the church, and I talked about it. I don't know how I got there, but I got there, and I mentioned to folks that you got to pay your taxes. Old boy came to me and said, this old boy, he's going to quit you. He did. He said he don't pay his taxes. Well, I wasn't trying to run someone off. But it's all part of being honest. When I put in my first business, I was counseled by people that were in positions of respect in my life. I was counseled that when you do things and you get cash for it, you take that and buy groceries for your kids. My wife wouldn't do it. It didn't matter if I did something for $3. She'd write it down. We'd pay tax. She just said, if we're going to do this, we've got to be honest about it. And so that there's when these things are happening, listen, we can't expect God to be bringing things to us, or we can't expect to be growing in this if we're not willing to respect his ways. And that's, listen, it's not the big things, it's the small things. It's not the big things that are causing us a real problem. It's these small things that we're just fudging the margins a little bit on. That's where, and when I said this the other day, I talked about how that I think that we should be honest all the time. And one of the reasons I think we should be honest, because you should be honest, is secondly, you're going to reap what you sow. You understand that if you're not honest with people, people won't be honest with you. I try to tell people I have very little time for lazy people, because a lazy person to me is the same as a thief. A lazy person will steal from you, because they're stealing from me when I'm paying them and they're not working. They're thieving. And so they'll just as easy pick up stuff off the job and steal it. So I don't like lazy people. Well, this works the same way. This works the same way. And God understands that if you're not willing to go at this and do it my way, he said, I'm not going to keep teaching. I'm not going to keep putting it out there so that you can learn it and grasp it and begin to understand it. He said, but if you're willing to go in any direction in anything, then he said, I'll be sure and put it out there for you so that you can take it, you can receive it, and your relationship with God can begin to grow. And as a result of your relationship with God growing, everything that you do will begin to prosper. Why? Because you now have more knowledge. You have more wisdom. You have now the understanding of how these principles work. It's amazing to me that how people outside the church have develop their ways of doing business based on the ideals of the Bible, and they're having great success telling the story all over town. I was listening to one the other day talk about it, and I told you then, I said, he's just simply sitting here telling us the principles that we know out of the Bible, and they're using them. They're becoming multimillionaires by saying what the Bible says in their own words. We're going, we're lining up, filling stadiums to listen to them. And all they're doing is saying what you and I know is a fact, everything we can learn by reading and understanding the Bible. And so as a result, our relationship of knowledge begins to grow. Our relationship of knowledge begins to go forward. So if we aren't willing to keep ourselves from certain things, then God's not going to be willing to bring certain things out of the storehouse of knowledge to us. Hosea says it this way. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed. I mean, it says they're destroyed because that thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Here's what I'm saying. He said, if you reject it, if you refuse to learn, if I refuse to learn, he said, I'll just reject it too. He said, I'll just reject bringing any of it to you. He said, I'll reject it bringing anything new into your life. He said, I'll reject the success that you'd like to see. He said, I'll just reject that part. If you're willing to reject knowledge, this is why we've got to come to this point, because God, this isn't a choice. If we're going to build a relationship with God, God requires that we go after this knowledge. I introduced a book to you here a few years ago called The Richest Man That Ever Lived, written about Solomon, and it's written about the book of Proverbs. And it's a story about a man that went and seen a pastor that he respected, and he said, "Here I am. He said, I'm trying to have some success. I'm going to work for a company. This company is now not doing so well. Probably going to lose my job over here. And he said, what do I need to do? And he just sat down across his desk, and he said, here, I'm going to give you some advice that I believe will change your life. He said, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. He said, read a chapter every day. And he said, on the months when there's less than 31, just read more than one. Get the book of Proverbs read every month. And he said, if you'll do that, he said, in 2 years, I believe he said, in 2 years, you'll be smarter than all the people you work for. And he said, in 5 years, you'll be a millionaire. So he said, I just did it. He said, it didn't work. He said, it really only took me about 4 years to become a millionaire. By reading one book and reading it over and over and over. He said, I would read this book. He said, I would read a chapter in the book of Proverbs. I kept a notebook. He said, I would write it down. I've done this in my life, in my ministry. I've done this over, and I've read this book of Proverbs through 200 times, I'm sure, because of this. And there's just things there, and just write them down. There's like, this time when you read through chapter 2, you might come up with something different. You write that down. What are you doing? You're pursuing knowledge. You're not going to get enough here on Sunday morning to change your life. It's my job to push you. It's my job to point you in a direction of where you can begin to get this help. And that's when we get in there. And on the first day of the month, we read Proverbs 1. On the second day of the month, we read Proverbs 2. And we go through these aren't chapters. We're not talking about reading some of the books of the Bible. These chapters, some of them don't have 12, 13 verses in them. When I talk to you about 5 verses for 5 minutes, this isn't much exceeding that. And so you would begin to do that, and you begin to go after this knowledge. Because Isaiah says, therefore my people are gone into captivity. They've gone into captivity, Isaiah 5 and 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. You wonder why some of the things hold us the way that they do? Because we have no knowledge. Some of the things that lasso us, the Bible says, casting off every sin and the weight that does so easy entangle our feet. The reason that happens and the enemy is so good at doing that is we do not have knowledge. We do not have enough knowledge. He said that people are going into captivity because of this knowledge. The knowledge and wisdom that we can receive directly from God. The knowledge and wisdom we can receive directly from God in this relationship is far better than any material thing that you can ever possess. I said that in the beginning, that if I had a choice between having millions or having intelligence, I'll take intelligence every day. I've heard people, it's so funny, I said this back when he began, just started being our president. People criticize our president because his daddy made him an $8 million loan, I think it was, said he made him an $8 million loan. That's how we do realize we're talking about a man that has $8 billion and he got an $8 million loan. So that's like you getting an $8,000 loan from me and then 20 years you come back and you've got $800 million. You can't give me no credit for that. Let me say, man, I gave you $8,000. That ain't that much. You did something with what I gave you. That's what God's doing. He said, I'll give it if you'll do something with it. He said, I'll make sure you have it if you'll do something with it. And these are the kind of numbers that God's working with. I'll give you the information. I'll give you what you need. And all of these other things will take care of themselves. You won't have to want for something. You won't have to wonder whether or not you're going to make it. I made this statement to my wife several times. I said, I don't have a worry about going bankrupt. I have no worry about that. So how is that? Well, first of all, I've sown so much seed that it would be impossible for me to go broke. Now, what you think about it, in your life, we put so much seed in the ground that it would be impossible. Even in the fields where it doesn't grow that well, we put enough seed there that we could never be without. Now think about it. I taught that last week in our life, talking about this sowing and reaping. That's why we've got to always have an avenue where we're always giving, we're always doing, we're always putting into other people's hands. He said, the same measure you give it away, says the same measure you'll get it back. If you give it without worrying about it or say, oh, man, I gave that $20 to that guy, but I don't know. God says, look, I'm willing to give it to you, and I have no idea what you're going to do with it. He said, I'll put it into your hands, and then we have no idea what you might do once you get it. So you and I begin to build this pattern in our lives, and God begins to put these things into our lives. He said, I can keep you out of captivity. He said, I can keep you from going, and he said that you would be destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That if I'm going to get caught, it won't be because I didn't have enough information. I'm going to ask God. Have God to direct me, put people in my path. Some of you need to begin to pray this in your life. But God, I want you to put people in my path that can help me with what I'm going through right now, that has the answers to the questions that I have. Here's what Proverbs says. It says Proverbs 3 and verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise, verse 14, of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the grain, therefore, than fine gold. He said, the information that I'm willing to give you, he said, it is more valuable to you than gold or silver. She is more precious than rubies and all the things that thou canst desire and not be compared unto her. Length of days. Wisdom. Length of days, verse 16, is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. What two things do you want to have here on this earth? Life and success. He says one's in one hand and one's in the other. It's in wisdom. Everything that you and I are looking for, everything that we desire, everything that we would want is found in wisdom. Proverbs 24 and 3, finally. Through wisdom is an house built, and by understanding is it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It's how it works. Now, you're sitting, and I believe you're here because you do. We're sitting in a building this morning in a place that we say we believe the Bible is true. We believe that the Bible, the things it says, works. I've had an opportunity for over 25 years. I've had an opportunity to prove this in my life. It works. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to begin to try to find this in your life. You begin to find, he says, if you'll build the house, he said, then I'll make sure. He said, if you allow wisdom to build the house and understanding to establish it, he said, then wisdom will fill the thing with everything you're looking for. You see, there was a few things that when I started out at this, there's a few things that I wanted to know that I could guarantee. And this morning, one of the single greatest thing that I've had success in my life was everything that you've seen this morning in this building. All these kids, my son-in-laws, my daughter-in-laws, my grandchildren, that was my number one goal. I can't lose one. I didn't care if I ever had 10 cents to rub together, but I can't lose these. And God gave me 3 and turned it into 18. And I said, I can't lose one. So set some kind of a goal in your life. Set some kind of a goal. And say, this is what I want to see in my life. I would start there. That when I say that I pray this prayer, that God, no pestilence, no disease, no incidents or accidents would come nigh my family. You should pray that. You should pray something like that. You should find your words and you should pray that. That should be number one, because I'm not willing to lose any of these. Then all of these other things that you desire, he said, if you'll establish the house on that, he said, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, no other one can build. He said, if you'll build on that, he said, I'll fill the house with all the other stuff. God's been faithful. God's been faithful. I've not always been faithful, but God's always been faithful. So when we begin to build this relationship of knowledge, understand that it's not just a relationship of you knowing, it's a storehouse of success that you'll have in your life if you'll start to. If you'll start today. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to wait till the first of next month. I'm going to start reading the Bible. No, let's start today. Start later this afternoon. Start in the morning. Pick it up. Begin to read it. The book of Proverbs, what that is exactly what it says. It's short sayings that are principles and points that can change our life. Everyone, it's not a book that reads through like the book of Genesis, for example. This is a book that just has principles. And as you write them down, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Write that down. Because guess what? They may be children now, but they'll be grown-ups before you know it. And you need to know that they go the right way. So I learned when reading that chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, I learned that what that verse is really talking about me training my child in is finances. It says that the rich ruleth over, that the lender ruleth over the borrower. So I taught my children that. I said, listen, this is what I want to teach you. And so, guys, we begin to understand these principles, and it's a relationship of knowledge, and you gain it over time. So start now. Start early and get this information inside you.